Okay, so we're moving from Elokai Neshama to Birkas HaTorah. Now, just a little bit of background is that, which we already talked about at the beginning when we talked about the Beis HaMikdash. So the halacha is that the prevailing minhag in most of the world is to say Birkas HaTorah before Birkas HaShachar. Want to put it here? Does that help you? Before Birkas HaShachar. That's the prevailing minhag. Now, there are many kehilos. For example, the kehilah of Rav Schwab, many Sephardi kehilos, minhag Hagra, all over scattered kehilos that say Birkas HaTorah after Birkas HaShachar, which is really the original way that it was said. And that's why we know that when we get into the main ulam, and we get to the steps of the Kohanim, you weren't here in the beginning of the tefillos classes. So the class on the Beis HaMikdash and how it relates to the order of tefillah. You can get it, borrow it. But the actual steps that lead up where are right already where we're past the Birkas HaShachar, and where we're already entering and about to start Pesukei DeZimra before that. So that was changed over time for a variety of reasons. Today, the minhag in most of the world is to say Birkas HaTorah before Birkas HaShachar. Okay, even though there are still many kehilos that don't do that. But the prevailing minhag is that way. So we're going to discuss it according to today's prevailing minhag. And even if something was changed, there's still a kesher. They wouldn't just insert it anywhere. This is gedolim. This is chazal. This is, they put it in where it would fit best, both in terms of kavana and appropriateness, as well as in terms of relationship to the brachos before and after. There's never something just some inserted. Everything is very clearly thought out, very clearly put together. Okay? So, I just wanted to put that out to you, because we're going to get into that in more detail later, what the relationship is between Elokai Neshama and Birkas HaTorah. Now, why make a bracha at all on Birkas HaTorah? Why do we have to make a bracha at all? Why don't we just... We don't do it on us. There are a lot of other things we don't do it on. So I want to quote you a pasuk from Yirmiyahu that says, Alma avda ha'aretz, v'yomer Hashem, al azvam et torasi. Alma avda ha'aretz, v'yomer Hashem, al azvam et torasi. For what reason did the land perish? Why did we lose the land? Obviously the land of Eretz Yisrael, Yerushalayim. And Hashem had said, because of their forsaking my Torah. Now, Masechet Nedarim, okay, brings down an answer. And Chazal in Nedarim describe this in detail. They say the reason that Hashem said, because of their forsaking my Torah, is that the destruction of Eretz Yisrael and the Chorban Beis HaMikdash were the result of She'ein Mevarchim B'Torah Tefillah. They did not make a bracha first. That's his answer. In other words, before learning Torah, there was no bracha. In other words, it became prevalent at the time with all the intellectual revolutions. Okay, this was back way, but there was incredible intellectual in the whole world. You know, Greeks or whatever. There was an incredible amount of flow of knowledge in the world. And Torah became just another science, another subject or discipline to learn or to know. They didn't make a bracha. They didn't raise it up to its infinite spiritual level. And they didn't raise it up to being the direct word of Kadosh Baruch Hu and totally Emes. They were still relating to it as another piece of knowledge. And even though there were many that obviously raised it up to the spiritual level of Emes, you know, the Gedolim, the Chazal, all of them were, the general public wasn't. And without that bracha to attach to it, they lost that concept of it being the general us. Lost that relationship to Torah being the supreme emes in the world, Dvar Hashem. And it's true, Torah contains all the knowledge in the world. It's unique. It's Torah Si, means my Torah, Hashem's Torah, it's Dvar Hashem. And somehow it wasn't pulled into the world like that. So we lost the Torah. Now, what I'd like to do now is show you what the relationship is, how deep Torah is, really, and how this was a terrible thing, that we separated Torah from its chashivas by leaving out such a bracha, and to show the connection between Birkas HaTorah Oh, thank you. Come in the kitchen. Thank you. And the connection between Elokai Neshama and Birkas HaTorah. Okay, I want to weave the two together now. Rashi says that each Jew received a crown on Har Sinai, on Horeb. It says right there, when they're at Har Sinai, Rashi brings down, they received actually a jewel of some kind, a D. And he says that that's actually a crown. Now Chazal say, when we said Na'aseh V'Nishma, the crowns were brought down for every single Jew, and angels brought down the crowns. And every single Jew received this crown, with jewels, whatever. Okay? And that Chei Ha'Egel, read the Chei Ha'Egel, Hashem says to Moshe in the Pesukim, take off their adi. The Chazal say this adi is their crown. Hashem said to remove it. The only person that did not lose their crown was Moshe Rabbeinu. And it says that when he came down, there was this glow coming off of him. And they said the glow that radiated out of him continued, except the crown was still on his head. Now, what this crown represents, we'll get to in a minute. But this crown illuminated, gave a light that permeated off of him, which is what every single Jew had until Chet HaEgel, for those moments. And the truth is, it was back in Adam HaRishon that also had that radiating illumination. And it was lost during his life. And we, over all those centuries of Abraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov, and Bilgis and Mitzrayim, that we finally resolved to have the crown again. The crown... It's okay. I can continue?
Yeah, yeah,
okay. The crown rests above the person. Above the person. These crowns from Hashem are actually the deepest, closest part of us to Hashem. It's through these crowns that He brings His light into us. And like we talked about last year, this part of us that's connected to a Kaddish Baruch Hu, that's Tahor, somehow these crowns are interrelated into this. I'm telling you, there's a chair in my room also. We're going to get to that. Okay? Now, the interesting thing is that even though we can't perceive it, okay, we can't perceive the crown anymore, Hashem took the perception of this crown, He took back up into Shemayim. And even though we can't perceive it, the connection and the potential has already been implanted. Just like when a baby is born and he's learning Torah, right, the whole time in the stomach, in the womb, because for the whole time he's learning in the womb, he is acquiring Torah. When he comes out, we can't perceive it. He can't perceive it. He doesn't know he already learned it. But the truth is, it's already deeply inside him. If you, if someone can come in, that's okay. Okay. That the connection has already been implanted in us, just like that Torah is already implanted in the baby, and he has to spend his life reacquiring that Torah. So it's a matter of our avoda to reconnect, to know that we have this incredible crown, this unique neshama, and then building it to ultimately receive our crowns in Olam Haba. The truth is, our crowns are on us, but we don't have the ability anymore to perceive them. Now this idea of like, are they on us? Are they up in Shemaim? The idea is that we have them. We didn't lose them and they're gone from us. They're there in some form of capacity, but we can't perceive it. And we spend this world trying to get them back, trying to get it back physically, for Tekesa Mesin, for Olam Haba, but trying to get it back psychologically or spiritually, believing that we have this crown, this neshama, that was specially given to us different than any other neshama of other people. Okay? Now, Rav Tzedek, I'm going to give over a piece of Rav Tzedek that will, a beautiful explanation that hopefully will help us to understand it deeper. It's very deep what he writes, and he says, we really can't understand all this, but we're going to try. Okay? So the crown is really, he says, the shoresh of our neshama, the root of our soul. It's above the person, and we come out of it. We come out of this crown. And the truth is the mind, the crown sits on the mind. So it's really from the mind that we can perceive anything spiritual. And from there, we keep going. And the idea is that the whole body has this ability of perception. Even our arms, our legs, our whatever, on their own, they perceive something. When things aren't going right, the body can let the neshama know in subtle ways, in all different subtle ways, either by passion for something or by illness or by desire, many, many different ways. Now, this is really beyond humanly perception, but with the other Dishmaya, we can get glimpses of it. We can get glimpses of our potential great levels. And sometimes we do. Sometimes we hit a moment in life where like, oh, that was it. That's truth, that's Hashem, or that's my soul. We get a moment. And that moment is what carries us forward, moving in a more goodly way, in a more godly-like way, emulating Kadosh Baruch Hu, trying to be more good in this world, more kind. Why bother being kind in this world? There's really no reason, unless you connect to the fact that there is a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Otherwise, it only makes rational sense to be exactly how good based on what you're going to get back. Right? There's no other reason to, like, you know, really relate spiritually to be good. But Rav Tzedek says that only with Siyata Dishmaya do we get glimpses of it, our great levels. Rav Tzedek says that only after purifying, correcting, building, cleansing, working, making a tikkun, working from below, working on our neshama group connection, our body and soul connection, only then can we raise ourselves to emulate Hashem. Once we're in the act of emulating God, only then do we merit the Siyata Dishmaya, the help, the revelation from above. Only through that work. Then Hashem can bring this hovering light that's really the source, the root of his neshama. Each individual neshama has his individual light created for his individual character and for his individual tikkun and for his individual olam haba. It's his individual light. Each light is different. And Hashem's got infinite light for us infinite people here. Okay? So each neshama has all this light, but we have to set in motion pulling it down. This light is the, Rav Tzedek says, is the hidden root of any chachma, any wisdom, and any kochos ha-nefesh. Please say kochos ha-nefesh. Any qualities of the soul, forces of the soul, forces using our ability in this world. So it goes back down to the idea of, you know, the brain is a neshama, we learn the ruach is the heart, nefesh, liver, that each one of these places, the liver represents desire. That's the bodily desire. The ruach is the heart, which is the emotional world. So our emotions can lead us, can help us to get back to a Kadosh Baruch Hu. We know how to understand them and then use them in the right way. Our brain can help us build in the spiritual world. When we perceive Hashem, when we work on understanding Hashem, when we work on learning Torah, because the crown that we don't perceive is a barrier to us because we don't perceive it. But it, with the perception, we'll get back that crown. Right? Is this making sense to a certain degree? Without our lack of perception of the crown is a barrier to us. Not the crown itself, but our not perceiving it makes us feel like, you said, I did something wrong and finished. Right? Instead of, there are many other ways to look at it. And the crown, and this, like we said, we never, Nefesh Chaim says, we are never, ever disconnected from a Kadosh Baruch Hu. There's 10 to 12, I guess you'd call them strings, right, that are leading us, you know, that are leading us close to Hashem. One can never be broken, never, ever, ever. As a Jew, you cannot be disconnected from Kadosh Baruch Hu. It just doesn't, it's not in the game plan. I didn't say none. One of the 12 can never be broken. And the root goes back up to Makom Elyon. The Zohar says that from their soul, from there, from Shemayim, the soul is brought down. It's like the neshama, chelak Hashem imo. This is the godly part of man that somehow is flowing into us. And this crown are related. They're both somehow related. One is inside us, and the crown is somehow way above us. And they're somehow interrelated and working constantly back and forth between us. And as we know, that when we got up to Shemayim, I mean, when we got to Har Sinai, Hashem blew into each person a new neshama, right? Neshama that was never existed before. And then, when he took away the crown, we still have this neshama, but it's being fed from above, from the highest place. And that Christ was zocher at Matan Torah to receive this. And it says at the end, it says in Nevi'im, the simchas olam al rosham. And the happiness, the incredible happiness the eternal happiness in this world, the eternal happiness will be on our heads. And we're going to get back these crowns. That's what it says in Yeshayahu. Lamed Hei. Yeshayahu says specifically, Simchas Olam Al Roshan. And it says, Sasan V'Simcha Yasigu. We will retain and reach, well, we'll leave away the sadness, and we will attain and reach Sasan V'Simcha, incredible happiness. And it says Al Roshan, on their heads. And this is reminiscent of the crowns that we're going to get. The crowns are here, somewhere here, but our perception of them is blocked, which gives us opportunity to rebuild them on our own, not just as a gift from Hashem, but as a real building of each individual. Before we got them, because Abraham, Yitzhak, Yaakov, all the generations there, they built. Okay? But now we're going to build, each person has the opportunity to build on their own and bring their crowns closer and closer, or golder and golder, or more and more jewels. I don't know how you want to express it. And remember, crown is crown. For us to understand what crown means in the spiritual world, we don't have, you know, but that's how Hashem decided to explain it to us. At each time we work on our spiritual and physical unity, our purity, our growth, our tikkun, our midos, our perception of a Kadosh Baruch Hu in this world, we bring Hashem into this world, and our perception of our crown and Hashem as our spiritual source, that grows and illuminates. And you can look at Gedolim, and you can see the illumination on their face. You know, from their neshama, they illuminate outwards. They give us something that others don't have. They remind us of this godliness inside.
How do you think of one shining world, somebody that was not a mother from another, and she wasn't well before she was lifted, and after she died, she was lifted, and then so, and she had the most tremendous shining effect to it.
Really?
Like it was unbelievable.
Something come out. Right, or these people who their bodies don't deteriorate. You know, there's this merging of the physical and spiritual. Mm-hmm. Or like unburied people buried in Nazareth Row, and their bodies look like normal. So I want to bring this down to show you that the relationship between the neshama, Elokai neshama, and Torah. The neshama is the vessel that Hashem gave us, the spiritually pure vessel that on certain levels, on the basic fundamental level, cannot get schmutz. Okay? It can't. Yes, we can make averas, and yes, we can make mistakes and do wrong things, but as we said in the last two classes, there's a schmutz from the outside. The inside is pure, and there's always one connection for every Jew that will remain. As we said, everybody gets Olam Haba, the beginning of every Pirkei Avos. Now, the neshama is this vessel, and the Torah is the content that we pour into it in order to get it going. It's the food, the fuel of the neshama. It's a spiritual nutrition. And from that fuel, if we take it or not take it, we can go up or down in our levels, build or destroy, grow or fall. That part becomes up to us. The fact that Hashem created us, gave us this incredible kesher to Him that cannot be ruined, but needs to be built up and refrain from the negativity. All that is true, and the Torah is our means to get there. He's giving us the Torah also to get there. There's another big matana. And you can come into the world with this vessel, and you can leave the same way or worse, or you can leave higher, more developed. You can maximize your potential. So what is this Torah? What can change? And of course, Torah, we could go on and on and on. I just picked a few things in this kind of subject that of what Torah is. How do we change or manifest this potential of Torah into reality, into really using it, that can build a guf or neshama to the love of a tzaddik? Because that's what a tzaddik is. He's not born a tzaddik. He has to work. He might have higher potentials than other people, or he might have lower potentials than other people. He might have harder background. So Hashem could take a very high neshama and put it in a very difficult matzah, a very difficult family, a very difficult era and time. So we could do a lot of things to a great neshama. To put a great neshama in an easier time. You know, it has to be a son of a gadol. We don't know what Hashem's cheshbon is. But how do we use, no matter what situation, how do we apply it in Olam Hazeh? So the main thing is that Hashem's manifestation here on earth, that Hashem is revealing to us who he is through his ideals, his thoughts, his mitzvot, his godliness. And it's really interesting if you think about it, that that's what Torah is. Torah is his laws, right? All of his laws and all of the philosophy, stories, machshava, Kabbalah, halacha, are all ways that we learn who Hashem is and what he is. Can you get Angela a chair for my bedroom, Natanya? Oh, could you all move over a bit so she can sit there? So really, it says, if you look at it, it's incredible, that hara'ah, Torah, is from hara'ah, the idea of teaching, instructing. So, and as parents, the words come horim, mora, they're all the same root. The Torah is the ultimate teaching of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, of Hashem's word, who he is, so we can get to know him, get to know his ways. I mean, we can never know HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but we can know how he manifests himself in this world. And emulating him, then we learn who we are in this world and what we're supposed to be doing in this world. Now, the opposite of Christianity, where they separate everything. They deal with religion. And they give over, you know, the state, civil issues, somebody else. Right? There's no, like, putting it together. I remember that Rav Asher Wade, he was in Germany. He was a Protestant, I believe, minister. And he, this woman... There were many things that led him to become, to convert to a Jew. But he thought that this woman used to come to him almost every Sunday after church. And she used to say to him, you know, you always preach about being good, being a good person, being kind to other people. But what does that mean exactly? What am I supposed to really do? He says, you know what you're supposed to do. It's in your heart. You know. And then he would leave that Sunday and sit down and have lunch with his wife. And he'd say to his wife, you know, I never give this woman an answer. He says, I don't know the answer. I spent 7 years in philosophy in one of the top, you know, in Protestant philosophy, one of the top universities in Germany. I don't know what to tell her. And year after year he was dealing with this. Until when he discovered Judaism and he saw that there were real halachas, real rules on how to treat another human being. Then he had to admit to her, you know, there really are rules, but they're not Christian. So that was one of the things that led him back. If you think about the laws, we have laws that come out to how do you put up walls between neighbors? Where can you put them? How many walls? The locations, the sizes, the this, the that. You know, views, air, infringing on another person's property. Huge in the Torah Sheba'alpeh and in the Oral Torah. Then we have laws of equal status in Zvachim, Masechet Zvachim, for example. The Masechet Baba Basra are neighborly and business type information. We go on to the next one, Masechet Zvachim, and we're talking about karbana. There's no difference in weight, in the importance of a karban, and the importance of, and what it means for the earthly mundane aspects of quote-unquote mundane, of laws between neighbors. We have laws of Lashon Hara. All share the same common denominator. This is HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who has created this world and has told us how to use this world. The same ideals, visions, the same sources, the same truth, the same everything. That's the background of us, of the Jewish people. We live everything according to Kadosh Baruch Hu's instruction of what it is. He created every cell in our body. He's working with every leaf out there, with every human being's psychology, every person's emotions, every person's desires, weaknesses. He's working with politicians and their decisions. We're talking about everything. Anyway, in Devarim, it says in Parshas Re'eh, for the first time it introduces the Beis HaMikdash. And it says, it talks about there, the sacrifices, 1 second, the Truma Matra. Okay? In Parshas Shoftim, right after, it talks about, it introduces Beis Din. Now where does, and Beis Din is Bein Adam L'Chavero, how do you resolve conflict between people? So what happens after that? Where do Beis Din sit? They eventually sit in the Beis HaMikdash. That's where they gave their laws from. And where is the most spiritual of our laws? Parshas Re'eh, in the Beis HaMikdash, the sacrifices of Truman Matzah, all take place in that same location. Everything emanates out from one. is not the difference between civil and spiritual. We live all in one. Everything is oneness. You know, us and our husbands, us and our children, us and our friendships, us and our business, us and ourselves, karbanos to Kadosh Baruch Hu, the laws that he requires from us, it's all one source. And that one source takes place in, the source of that one source is in the Beis HaMikdash. From the most spiritual to the most civil, physical action and judgment. Most physical things. No separation in any aspect of life. It's all oneness. And that's because Hashem is one, and that achdus, when we say Shema Yisrael Hashem, Hashem Echad, it really is Echad. Everything is one. Whether we are dealing with our little child and trying to, you know, educate them in sharing, okay, all the way up to what's the truma that has to be given now? You know, how do we deal with X, Y, or Z in the Beis HaMikdash? And Torah is the word of Hashem that directs and teaches us how to live in this oneness. It's all in there. And the neshama, it's the role in this world to emulate Hashem, become like Him. Then Hashem is telling us the Torah is the way to be like Him. Use your neshama to be a vessel to receive all this Torah. And then your neshama will keep on raising up, keep on being fulfilled. That vessel will be intact, won't be broken and leak out the Torah. You keep building yourself, building Hashem's Torah inside of you, sharing it with other people, teaching it, living it. And says, someone said that we're like in his downstairs office. Hashem has his upstairs office, and he wants us to run the downstairs office here. He made Olam Haza, this world, for us to run. And the reason he wants us to run is to build his name in this world, to build oneness, truth in this world. So we're down here running the office. And the instruction book we have to run this office is Torah. You know, in the subways in Manhattan, they have a little baby, and it has a tag. It says, if only this child came with instructions. And every time I say, they do. They come with Torah instructions. They're not willy-nilly going through this world, although that's the way they treat it, and although that's the only thing they think. But the truth is, we all come with instruction booklets, the Torah. And without the Torah, the neshama can get depressed, stale, dehydrated. It's very, you can see it a lot on the world outside, where they're looking for something new, something to add, some great thing to do, you know? Saturday night out, you know? Vacation where? Where's the next exciting vacation I can go on? Or where's the next ism that I can attach myself to? You know? Whatever it is. But the truth is, like Uri Zohar told when he left, the whole, if you know, Uri Zohar was a big actor, really a schmutzika type thing. And he had enough. Like, where is the reality of this world? And he, thank God, got introduced to someone very chashuv, a rav, who talked to him at a party. We think the party was here in Shari Chesed because of Brit. Oh, not a bit so? Yeah? Also, right. And he said he was looking for the reality. And I don't know if you know Rabbi Sinclair from Or Sameach. He was a big actor from England, and he went through a lot of great things in terms of the secular world. He was a producer, and then he was a film or music, and then he became an actor. At the end, he was acting in Europe, and I say this out because he publicly speaks. He was performed as Dracula, every night as Dracula. And you know, you wear this, we'll have to do this, whatever, cross, and you have to shine it. So every night, you don't want to know, every night he's acting, from 6 or 4 to 6 or 8 to 10, but he decided to light Hanukkah candles. And it was during, he was somewhere north, Norway, Sweden, that by that point he'd gone through most of Europe, and he had this, he light Hanukkah candles, then he'd run off to perform Dracula. And he would have to hold up this thing, this Christian symbol, at somebody's face. And he's like, what am I doing? You know, and it totally was such a conflict for him, an eternal conflict. At the end, or before the end of this great shows through Europe, he came to Israel. He came from Baruch Hashem, family. Right, illumination of life. So, I just wanted to add that. So, let's go on. Now we'll go into a little bit more. That's what Torah is bringing access of Hashem Kodesh Baruch into the world and learning who Hashem wants us to be emulating Kadosh Baruch Hu in every single part of life, and knowing that every single of his Sfarim that come out, Chazal, whatever, on his Torah, are all teaching us what Hashem wants, what his message is in the world to us and to each one of us individually. Do you want me to turn this over? This one? No. Is it 60 or 90 minutes? Okay. Okay, so I want to go on to the actual bracha and the actual tefillin side. It says the mitzvah, again, it says what we said, why we have to make a bracha. So the share kiddushan mitzvata b'tifano la'asuk b'divrei Torah. So this repeats a little bit of what we, just want to repeat quickly what we said before. If you want a sitter, Angela, there's one. My white sitter right up there above you? Yeah, if you can give her that sitter. We're in Birkas HaTorah, right before the bracha. It's okay, I'll drop. As we said in Al Netilas Yadayim, that the deeper of Kiddushanu is Kedushas Guf Yisrael, that the holiness and sanctity of the Jewish Guf, that the physical body of a Jew is holy. And when Hashem says, Asher Kiddushanu, this is what we did a lot on this. I just wanted to mention it quickly. Asher Kiddushanu Mitzvah, that Hashem made us holy, but the mitzvah, he made our bodies holy. Remember we talked about that? Our actual bodies are holy. Once the neshama is put inside, the body has been raised up from its earthly matter. It's no longer the goof is from the ground and the neshama is from above. The goof has been raised up. And we can raise it higher with the mitzvah. But it's already been raised. And that's why we're commanded to do mitzvah. So that we use all different parts of our bodies to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And after the body and the soul separate, even after that point, the body still retains its Kedusha, as we know. For example, okay, the body will welcome back the soul, if you will, at Tichiyas HaMesin, at Revival of the Dead. The body is welcoming the soul back into it. So there has to be a holiness. It didn't just deteriorate into nothingness. When we get to Tichiyas HaMesin, so the body is being revived by the dew outside. Every time there's dew, or the rains of winter, it's reviving the body, keeping it alive on a spiritual level that will then infuse it with its physicality again on a holy level. Second, we know the Hara Kedisha, the Bureau of Society, treats the physical vessel, the kli, the body, with honor and dignity when it's buried. That's why they run out in any of these horrible piguim and terrible things. They run out to find every single little piece of body part and put it together, because all of it belongs to that body, and all of it is as holy as possible. Why a Jew doesn't give over parts of its body to research. Because that part was made holy by you during your lifetime and by a Kaddish Baruch Hu when he breathed that neshama into you. And thirdly, even if a Kohen Gadol was not allowed to be near a mace, he becomes tameh for a mace mitzvah if there's no one else available. He is required to become soiled by a mace. Even doesn't matter that he's really not allowed to do that, except if there's no one else to do it, he's required to do it. So it shows the holiness of the body. So we are using our bodies to learn Torah. Our speech, our mouth, our hearing and ears, we're fulfilling mitzvot. And according to the Bach wrote Beis Chadash, the commentary on the Torah, which actually is before the Shulchan Aruch. So the Bach said that it's not just sufficient to learn Torah. A person has to learn Torah, express the learning in words, and implement or practice. He says, la'asuk b'divrei Torah. La'asuk means you have to use it. You have to work on it. You have to do something with it. Okay, it's not just learning it. Now, the Taz, who was actually his Rebbe and his father-in-law of the Bach was his Rebbe and father-in-law of the Taz. Okay, so he was an Achron. And he made a commentary on the Shulchan Aruch. He lived about 400 years ago. He said, La'asuk is an enormous amount of hard work, enormous amount of toil, effort to learn Torah. It's just not an easy thing. Not easy for anybody. And you have to overcome laziness, tiredness, limitations of mind, weaknesses, millions of distractions, both internal and external distractions, to be able to learn Torah. That's what's needed. Because that's what Osek the Torah is. like toiling in Torah, all the hard work. So a man is commanded to learn Torah, but what about a woman? She's not commanded. She doesn't have a mitzvah of learning Torah, right? It's not her mitzvah. So why are we learning this at all? Why bother? Anybody have a... What? Because women are commanded, but women are still commanded to say Birkas HaTorah. We're not commanded to learn Torah, but we're commanded to say those lines, Birkas HaTorah. So why? Because women are patur from Talmud Torah purely for learning. But women are really obligated to learn the halachos, the laws, so they can properly fulfill the mitzvah. And the truth is, there are very few laws that a woman doesn't have to fulfill. She does not require to mitzvot asay asman grama. Certain time-bound mitzvot, not all time-bound mitzvot, certain ones she's not required to do. Really, that's a very small amount of all the mitzvot. If you think about it, women have the same, almost the same obligation of men of keeping the majority of the mitzvot. And women must know and learn the details of the mitzvot observed properly. For example, in the home. A woman's responsible for the home. Men don't really get involved so much in the kashrus and Shabbos. Pieces of it. But a woman is bringing kashrus and Shabbos into the house. She has to worry about shatnez. Who else is really out there buying the clothes and running over to the shatnez lab? Who knows what's inside there? She's obviously responsible for taras mishpacha. She can be responsible for hiring goyim in the house and hiring, or Jewish help in the house. She has to know the laws of hiring. She has to know trumas and masros, right? If she lives in Eretz Yisrael. Separation and what and how. Tznius. Many, many laws. And it's interesting, how can a woman run a business? And great women through the centuries have run businesses so their husband could sit and learn. Great women, women of gedolim, have allowed their husbands to sit and learn because they ran the business. And if a woman doesn't know the laws of ribis, which is interest, she doesn't know the laws of ona'a, which is price fraud and misrepresentation, she doesn't know the laws of gezel even, hiring workers, then she can't run a business. She can't, you know, her first obligation is to do everything by Torah. Then you get the parnasa. Right? So if she doesn't know these things, then she's not really holding a Torah. So there's an enormous amount of learning of Torah that a woman needs to do in order to serve a Kaddish Baruch Hu, in order to live in this world, in order to put into practice the Torah itself. That her purpose to gain knowledge, to put Torah into practice. I don't want to go too overtime, but just want to end a little bit here. There's some beautiful things here. It says next in the pasuk, it says, "Va'erev na Hashem Elokeinu at divrei Torah Secha b'sinu." Hashem, please Hashem Elokeinu, sweeten the words of Torah in our mouth. So Rav Schwab says, once we start to try to learn, Rav Schwab, we ask Hashem to help us enjoy it. So he gave a beautiful mashal. Someone's reluctant to jump into cold water. Really cold, freezing, let's say ocean water. Doesn't want to do it. Once he jumps in and breaks the ice, a few minutes later, it's like really pleasurable. Really fun, pleasurable, nice, beautiful. He said, that's the idea of Limud Torah. Very hard at first. There are lots of internal, external obstacles. But once you get into it, you start to get this, what's called Kashkas HaTorah. Like a love of Torah, enjoyment of Torah. But it takes that process, overcoming, I don't want to, I'm too tired, I don't have time, too many things in the way, I have too many obligations, it's too hard on me, I don't have the right kind of mind. Getting over that, and then jumping in the water, and then starting to feel the pleasure of it. And the sweetness, we ask from Hashem, help make it sweeter for us. Help make it not so hard for us. Help me not have to jump into the cold water. You know? And Rav Tzadok says that it's a physical aspect of enjoyment. There is a physical enjoyment in learning Torah if you get to that point. That actually, you can see men, they're like, once they're like really into learning Torah, they just have to run to learn Torah. It's like a thing in their body it becomes. And he says that, if a person does not have physical desires, then they won't have desire to learn Torah. It'll go away. But if they don't build in themselves other physical desire, because it's a physical desire, just like any other, but on a greater, higher level. So the neshama can now work with the goof for Limud Torah. Yeah, maybe that's why all those nuns and priests, whatever, don't do anything. I know what they do up there, but... It's not learning Torah. I'm not learning. I don't know what they're doing.
It's a brain system.
Mm-hmm. It's a physical part, becomes a physical part of her being. I know sometimes you can start getting into a lacha class, right? You just can't miss it. And then you get this like, I can't miss it. But it's a physical, he claims, with Sadok, what? No, but Sadok and Chazal, and they all say that it takes physical, it's a physical part of our guf. And our guf can remind us, like our legs want to run. You know, so that's the leg helping the neshama learn Torah. So the Rambam says that at the end of Hilchos Arayos, now, the Rambam, you know, is, when he takes a sefer and he wants to write about halakha, then it's purely halakha, purely dinim. But at the end of the Mishnah Torah, he gives advice on how to overcome lower physical desires, how to get rid of your lower physical, whatever it is in terms of priestess, in terms of food, in terms of, he gives a whole bunch of a list of what you can do. Now this is his halakha book, okay? But he's talking from a psychological, if you will, point of view. All sorts of advice how to purify yourself. But he concludes with the fact that greater than all of this advice is directing oneself towards Torah. He says that channeling your passions and your desires to Hashem helps you overcome the lower level desires, because you channeled your physical desire to a higher level place. But he talks about your desires, your baseline physical desires. And he says thoughts of desires only grow in a heart. Physical low desires, the lowest physical desires, grow in a heart which is empty from Torah, empty from wisdom. But it's coming from physical place. Your physical, the physical place. It's connected. You've connected them. You have then connected your guf and your neshama, which is your job. There I am, Jason.
Yeah.
Right, there's always a balance of knowing, are you running from something or are you running to something? That each person has to check for themselves. So I don't know if you want me to finish this, the whole thing is about 10 minutes more, 5 minutes more, or to put it off, or to have it all in one tape and all. I don't have to, I have 5-7 minutes. So I'll just finish. People have, I have something for you, Angela, though. You have to wait. Okay. So the Fi Am Club Beis Yisrael. So we just had said, I don't have the breath in front of me.
You want to
No, I'll continue. Just someone who'll open the sitter so we can just tell us what was before. Oh, we asked Hashem the Erevna. The Fi Am Club Beis Yisrael. Okay, so to sweeten it, we ask for us, and then we ask that you should sweeten it in the mouth of your people, house of Israel. Ubisi Amcha Beis Israel. Now remember, it says Ubisi in the mouth. It doesn't say Amcha Beis Israel. He's talking about the mouth. Make it sweeter in the mouth. He's related to different parts of the body. Each part of our body have the Kedusha, and then can be raised higher. Right? So we're constantly connecting this Guf and Neshama. So now we're just mentioning that Klal Yisrael, the Achdus, that we have to, when we say this bracha, we're not asking only for ourselves or only for, you know, your husband. You're asking for all of Klal Yisrael, Amcha Beis Yisrael, Tefillah for learning of everyone. And it's also supporting it applies in here, Rav Schwab said, it applies in his supporting yeshivas, Torah organizations, Talmidei Chachamim, Balei Tshuva, whoever that needs to be supported for their learning Torah. That we do as much as we can so that the learning Torah is spread as much as possible to every possible single Jew in the right way. And that they should then enjoy, they should enjoy the learning also. And can you imagine if all the world would see Klal Yisrael running to learn Torah and being so excited to learn Torah? That would be it. We'd be finished. You know, Mashiach would come. That would be the real Kiddush Hashem, that people would see the excitement and they would also run, want to know what's all this about. Then it says, may we and our offspring and the offspring of all your people, again, it's deepening it, responsible to teach our children and to teach all the children of Klal Yisrael. I mean, there are people out there and who knows where that have no idea what Torah is. Reaching them, giving them a taste of it. And it's a mitzvah to us, it's a chiyuv, for a man to teach his children. And the source of a woman, the mitzvah that she gets from preparing and encouraging a child to learn Torah. Then it says, Kulam yodei shmecha lamda tarasecha. So it's for all of us to know your name, Hashem, to study your Torah. So there are two mitzvahs in here, according to Rav Schwab. Yodei shmecha is Torah shebiksav, the written Torah. And why is that? Because the Zohar says, the Zohar brings down, and the Rambam of Reishis brings down, Kol haTorah kula shmatav shel Kadosh Baruch Hu. All of the Torah are names of God. Every time you learn a word, a pasuk, just a phrase, you are learning names of Hashem, which are somehow bring light into the world. We don't know what it means or why, but there's something in the lashon of the written Torah, the Chumash Nevim Ketuvim. There's secrets in each letter. The Nevim bring down and taught one Navi to the next, about the secrets within each word. Now, I'm going to say you go read the whole Torah so you can bring out reading of Hashem. But just know, when you're learning Torah, you're doing more than what you just think you're doing. There's a very spiritual thing that's being brought into the world. And the words of Torah Shabbos are called Shemecha. It's actually called Shemecha. This is a hidden reference to Hashem behind it. The second is Lomdei Torah Secha. This is Torah Shiba'al Peh, the oral law. And that's the idea that we, as a people, Yodei Shemecha Zepkasav. And Lomdei Torah Secha doesn't go into Rav Shah, but it just says it's Torah Shiba'al Peh. Okay, and then... Right, Lishma. Now the thing is that I don't want to go into Lishma right now, because he brings down that everybody can learn Lishma, but hopefully it'll bring you to Lishma. But it's not really what we're asking for, because that's something I don't know. He just said he didn't really want to. Okay, so the last bracha is Bracha Tashem Hamaleh Torah Lamo Yisrael. Bracha Tashem teaches Torah to his nation Yisrael. So Baruch we know is increasing, and we pray that as more and more people learn Torah, they will come to recognize the Kadosh Baruch Hu. And that Hashem, Milamed, Hashem is the teacher. He's the ultimate teacher, and he brings down through all different sources, through all the Sfarim, through the teachers, through the parents, he brings down his teachings into the world through all these different Shlichim, all these different messengers. He's the ultimate teacher. And we can learn through his Torah, we can be the ultimate student. And then it says, who selected us from all the nations and gave us his Torah. Hashem chose to give us the gift of Torah, Am Yisrael. Now we talked about in the very, very beginning of the idea of Har Sinai, that there were all these nations that said, I'm not interested. And then we said, Nasa v'nishma. Okay, we'll do it. So we received, and through Abraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov, all the subsequent generations, they were willing to sacrifice themselves and to receive Torah. And therefore Hashem chose us to be the recipients of his Torah, not to any other nation. He didn't give it to those who kept Shem Mitzvot B'nei Noach, even though that was a high level. He taught them Derech Eretz with Midos Tovos. which is Kadma LaTorah, which becomes before Torah. The Rambam says that when we were leaving the Yom Suf, we crossed the Yom Suf, and we were getting to Har Sinai. What were we learning during that time? He says we were learning Derech Eretz, how to be good people, how to treat one to another properly, that you need that before you can receive Torah. And that is the vessel, the real vessel of receiving Torah. And then we can then receive more of His Torah. That Hashem made, even then, even Goyim, into a Tzelem Elohim, into image of Hashem. But in order to take that farther, you have to know how to treat people correctly, how to be a good human being, how to walk in this world with openness and derech eretz and good midos and loving each other. Then you can see Matan Torah. And on Har Sinai, we got the code of laws, we got the code of laws of Torah, and we got our Jewish neshama. That's how they go together. Only our Jewish neshama can receive this Torah. There's something that changed in our neshama that enabled us to be able to receive this Torah. A non-Jew cannot receive this Torah. They will learn it, like we said in the beginning, like it's another subject, like just another piece of intellectual information. We learn it as a spiritual means to know God and bring God into this world and to live in a holy level. And Torah Hashem was put, it's a gift from Hashem to elevate each Jewish soul. He's giving us an opportunity, like we always have, in order to raise our soul. We got the basics of the soul, the basic that cannot be hurt, that cannot be obliterated from Hashem, but it can get lower or higher depending on what we do with it. And this is Matana from Hashem, that the Torah is going to help us raise it up or not. And after Matan Torah, we became different, individually and as a nation. We become something entirely different. Just like any person who converts, they receive that same neshama, it becomes entirely different, and they are the same as any Jew walking around. And their neshama now can also be, with their work, be raised up, or they can go and leave it, schmutzik it, and mess it up. They're still going to have that connection to Kadosh Baruch Hu. They still will have, once they convert, they still have that connection, just like once we and Har Sinai received it, we'll still have that peace. Yeah? Neshama, maybe. Well, maybe that's why. It never makes sense.
You know, every year when you say that, so it says, zero this, zero that, it's going to cost this, and it's that day, right? Really, the emphasis seems to be in here. It would be enough that would be kind to thank you. Mm-hmm. If you take about this, you didn't kill the break down this, and still would have to thank you. This, there's always someone says, how could it be? How could you say, if you would take the time to see money, would give the dollar? Saying, it would be enough to thank you for it. This is the account. Mm-hmm. But the Chassid saying, the Mama and Hashina, we got the Neshama, so that we could get the Torah. So the fact that we got our Neshama is a very great thing, that we could get the Torah.
Mm-hmm. And even in and of itself, just having this special Neshama that each one of us has and is interrelated with, as we talked about other times, that in and of itself is like
great matana.
And now Hashem is basically saying to us, He gave to us souls that became infused with Kedusha HaTorah. And then we can take this Kedusha HaTorah and work. It's just all a gift. It's all a gift. It's all like an opportunity to go higher and higher and higher and closer to Kodesh Baruch Hu, and to raise the world higher and higher, and to become more and more ba'achdus with each other, knowing that each different neshama has a relationship to me, because Hashem made their individual neshama have a place in this world, that Chashu would bring out His name, and my job is to bring out His name, and your job is to bring out His name and His presence in the world, and your job, so I need you, and I need you, and you, and you, for all of us, you know, we're one big corporation, like we said, we're the downstairs office, you know, we're the downstairs office here. And if we work together, we bring a Kadosh Baruch Hu into the world. That's our job. And that's what Torah gives us the opportunity to do. I'm sorry it took so long.